reference to the specific issue of Shabbos. It's interesting in terms of synergy. So I noticed that Rav Asher Weiss, in his Sefer on Chumash, I didn't see if he talks about a Sefer on Shabbos, but a Sefer on Chumash in Parshas Kisisa has an essay, Beinyin Chatzi Shir B'Malacha Shabbos. So it's just a little synergy that out of all the things he could be talking about in this week's Parsha, he puts that as a Parsha topic for this week because of the Pasuk of Chol Malacha L'Sasu and the Bechazal about Chol Malacha, they have to do the whole Malacha. So let's talk a little bit about how the general concept of Chatzi Shir, which we discussed last week, how does that apply to, first, to issues beyond Achila, and then specifically to Shabbos. So there is a lot of debate about this. The most explicit sugya in the Gemara about that uses the term Chatzi Shir and that talks about those things is the Gemara Maseches Yuma, as you saw, which focuses on Inyan of Achila. So the question of whether it's relevant to other areas of halacha is a little bit of an open question. Of course, if somebody is specific enough, so and if somebody knows where to look, so then you could find rayas from all over Shas where the concept might be applicable. But in terms of explicit references, it's really in that context, in the context of achila, which leaves the question open as to is it something that applies in other areas of halacha. So on the one hand, you could ask, once you're broadening it beyond achila, the question also takes on a different tone, because when it comes to achila, so we know that we're talking about the quantitative measurement of a kezias or less than a kezias or whatever the relevant number is. But in other isurim, which may not be so easily measured, so then the question could be, are we talking about an incomplete act? So we mentioned in a different context earlier in the week, the question of how to read the Ramban. For example, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos argues on the Rambam, when the Rambam says that what's known colloquially as the Isur Negia, the prohibition of affectionate contact between men and women who aren't married to each other. So that Isur, the Rambam writes, Lo Sikrevu is a Isur Daraisa with Malkos. And the Ramban disagrees, and he says that he thinks it's an Issa Darabanan, but even if it's a Daraisa, there's no Malkus because he makes the comparison to Chatzi Shir. So some point to that Ramban and say, oh, you see, they have Chatzi Shir by other Yisurim, not just by Yisurim that are not defined by Achila, but also in a qualitative sense. When you have an action and you're doing only part of the action, so to speak, or you're part of the way, on the way to the Isser, there's also an applicability of Chatzi Shir. So maybe, I'm not so sure if that Ramban is really relevant to this. I think the Ramban could simply be saying that there's a concept of an Isser Daraisa which doesn't necessarily have an Onesh. And Chatzi Shir is representative of that, that there are times when you violate the Ratzon HaTorah in the sense of an Isser Daraisa, but it doesn't carry with it an Onesh, and that's perhaps the whole significance of Chatzi Shir being invoked in that context. So I don't know if you necessarily have to go so far. It's interesting, I think Levush Mordechai makes the point in one place that clearly there are Isurim where it doesn't make sense. One could go so far as to say, for example, that since there's an Isur in the Torah to marry two sisters, so we should say, Chatzi Shir, there's an Isur to marry one sister. And so clearly there are contexts in which it doesn't make sense to take it too far. So you have to figure out exactly when the conversation even is a logical conversation. So that really goes to the heart of what kind of issues we're concerned about when we talk about Chatzi Shir. And we saw last week that in focusing on the Achila issue, that first of all the Gemara mentions two possible sources for the whole Isser, either the Pasuk of Kol Chelev or the Svara of Chazalit Strufe, and we saw that there are different ways to understand Chazalit Strufe, but they could be categorized probably in two general ways, either that we say that having a punishment at all, whether it applies in this case or not, but having a punishment at all is a way of saying it's an illegal substance, and then any involvement with an illegal substance is wrong. It's not always punishable, but it's still wrong, and that's a fundamental wrong. It means the substance is bad, and it's just as bad in a small amount as it is in a big amount. It's just not enforceable. Alternatively, we saw another way of looking at it, that maybe it really is a whole different thing when it's too small, and it really isn't what the Torah prohibited in that context. And the Torah only actually prohibited hitting a certain threshold and above. Let's say in the context of achila, it's only even called achila when you have a kezias, and less than that is not even the concept at all. But there's a Torah policy not to get involved, most likely because of the potato chips fire, because of the possibility, the likelihood that you will come and finish the Isser, and therefore the Torah says don't get involved at all when there is something prohibited. So those points are important to keep in mind when we consider to what extent is the logic transferred to other areas of the Torah, and then specifically to Shabbos as well. So to work a little bit backwards chronologically before we get to the Rishonim, so one of the Achronim staked out a famous position on this. It was the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi in his Shuvas in Siman Pei Vav discusses a different area of halacha. He talks about the question of Bayira, Bayimatze, which I think there was some reference to last week. That in terms of Bayira, Bayimatze, so there is a big discussion. Do we assume that there is a shear for that Isser? Let's say if we assume, like the Ran says in Psachim, that Bayira, Bayimatze is about keeping us away from the Isser of eating chametz. So one could argue that maybe we only have the Isser when it's a kezias and above. And if the Isser of Bayira, Bayimatze is a kezias, so then is there a prohibition of chatzi shir? So that question, just a little bit of background on it, without going into the real detail in the Rishonim and the Achronim, we talk about it. But just conceptually, it makes a big difference, by the way. We're almost approaching the Pesach season, but if it wasn't for the leap year, we'd be closer. But the question, really, the halacha l'maaseh of what attitude do we take towards cleaning our house out for Pesach? Do we have to worry about Bayira, Bayimatze, by less than a kazayit, by smaller amounts? It makes a big difference to what exactly is our attitude, to what do we have to look for. So if we say that the whole Isser is only a kazayit and up, so that's a very significant point in terms of the type of cleaning that we do. So especially if we assume that there's probably no onesh, even if you have a kazayit, there's probably no onesh for a general Bayira, Bayimatze anyway. That's a little bit of a discussion, but let's assume at least for most cases of Bayira, Bayimatze, there isn't an onesh to begin with. So then the shear, if there is a shear, would only be relevant to the Isser. There's no onesh either way. So it's only relevant to the Isser in the first place, saying that it's basically no Isser at all to have less than a kazayas of chametz in your house. So there's a lot of discussion about this, as you can imagine. So in that context, so the Chacham Tzvi, in his Tshuvas, he discusses whether there should be a prohibition of Bayira, Bayimatze by less than a kezias of chametz. And he makes two observations, or more, but two observations that are important. One is that maybe you should say that there is no prohibition of chatzi shir other than by achila, that the sources that we have are explicit in the context of achila, and maybe that is the whole scope of the Isser, that we only have a prohibition by achila. He also makes another interesting point, which is adds another nuance and adds another layer to the whole chatzi shir discussion. It's also very important. So we've suggested and seen so far really two perspectives, either the illegal substance idea, we call last week the marijuana idea, or now state dependent, but the potato chips svara. But the Chacham Tzvi focuses on another point which is important, where he suggests that the concept of achshavei is relevant, which means as follows, that perhaps a shear is all about significance. And the whole concept of having shearim is saying that below a certain threshold, it's not significant, it's not important, we don't care about this item. And therefore, the halacha says, the Torah says, you don't worry about it, you don't get punished for it, it's not something we pay attention to because it's too small. But to go back to our example, with apologies to the Hershey Company, of the Hershey Kiss made out of pork. So if you have this little tiny piece of pork that's all wrapped up in nice foil with a little piece of paper on the top and its name on it, so then you could say that, yes, by itself, that quantity of pork would not have been significant halachically. But if you're eating this, I get my little Hershey pork kiss now, so then you're giving it chashivas. You're saying you're paying attention to this Hershey kiss and you're taking the trouble to eat it. Okay, so for you, apparently, this is significant. By itself, it wouldn't have been significant, but your relationship to it granted it chashivas. We call achshavei. So in that context, says the Chacham Tzvi, so one could say that by Bayira, Bayimatze, it doesn't make sense, because most of us, if we were the most religious people who are otherwise observant of the halachas of Pesach, if they would be in violation of Bayira, Bayimatze, how would they generally do it? They would have chametz in their house before Pesach and fail to get rid of it. So for most contexts of Bali Yirah Bali Matzeh, one presumably passively violates the Yisr, which is why we said a minute ago, it's very likely that there's no onesh for it at all. That's what the Rambam writes, that in most of those cases of Bali Yirah Bali Matzeh, you're not going to get Malkus, because the Lav Shei Vomaisa. He says if you were to bake it or purchase it on Pesach, that'd be different. But again, observant people are less likely to do that. Observant people would be more likely to have just not gotten rid of their chametz on Pesach. So that's a completely passive act. So in that context, says the Chacham Tzvi, so, okay, if I ate this Hershey Kiss made out of pork, so I gave it chashivas. I said this is something I'm paying attention to. But if I have a crumb of chametz under my couch, I didn't do anything to give that chashivas. Quite the opposite. I ignored it. That was the whole point. I just forgot about it. So therefore, since it's A, small, and B, you're not doing anything to grant it any special chashivas, so then there's no prohibition of chatzishin. So that's an important point to the whole discussion, just in terms of its logic. But to go to his other point about there being no isser outside of achila, so this was a very controversial point, as you can imagine. And many Sfarim took issue with this, because there are indications, at least in Rishonin, if not necessarily in Gemara's, but at least in Rishonin, that there is such a concept.
Probably in Medrash.
Yeah, so that's stuff to talk about also. But at least in the Rishonim, you certainly find such possibilities. Many point to a Magid Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva, and Hilchos Gezeila talks about Gezeila and Geneva, Pachos, Meib Shavapruta. That's a different concept which we won't get into today. But most relevant to us today, and extremely explicit on this point, is which Rishon really says this most front and center? Rashi. Rashi on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph really goes out and says this explicitly, that the Gemara, in the context of the Gemara, is the possible heterim for Borer. Gemara talks about how to interpret a Braisa that says that sometimes Borer is permitted, and one of the possibilities happens not to be one of the three that we accept the halacha, but one of the possibilities is that maybe it involves less than a shear. Borer pachos mikashir, and that should be allowed. So in that context, ask the Gemara, what, we have such a heter by the malachos? V'chimoter la'afos pachos mikashir? Would it be permissible to bake less than a shear? Now, what does Rashi say over here? It says, Nihi dechi of chatas leka. Okay, granted that if somebody were to do that, there wouldn't be any carbon, it wouldn't be a full shear of the malacha, but isura mihayika, it's still going to be prohibited to do that. Dikai malon chati shear asum ha Torah, perk basra di yuma defined adam and aleph. How could you say that it should be mutter to do borer in such a context when the Gemara says, "Beferish yuma defined dalam ralav chatzishir asum in haTorah"? So Rashi is very significant for a couple of reasons. First of all, he clearly states that there should be an isser of you could argue with him on any of the three points, but he clearly states that there should be an isser of chatzishir by the malachos, that it's an isser daraisa, and that it's the same Isser Doraisa of Chatzi Shir by Kol HaTorah Kulo. Right, one could have accepted any one of those points without going to the next step. One could say that it's Mutter, or Asur Midrabanan, or Asur Min HaTorah for another reason, but this Rashi is really explicit and puts it all in that same sugya. There is also an additional drasha, which I put on the Mar Makom, with the Torah's Kohanim, where the Medrash over there seems to comment on an Isser of a chatzishir by malachos, that even though the onesh is only for the whole malacha, but for a little bit of malacha, there's also a prohibition. And Chafetz Chaim, in his commentary, which I put on, I think I put the whole text on the Mar Makomos, so he says, so this depends. If you're a Rabbi Yochanan man, that you hold chatzishir asur min haTorah, so then you could say that this is a real drasha gemurah, that this is a isur daraisa. And if you're a Reish Lakish man and you hold this in Isser Drabanan, so then this is an Asmachta, it's not a real Drasha. Although you'd have to say that either way it's not a real Drasha, because if you're a Yochanan man, so then you already know it from another Pasuk. So then I guess what he means, sorry? So unless you say that this is, it's a subtle comment in order to understand it properly, you have to say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it needs another Pasuk, but it's part of his whole Hashkafa. The same Rabbi Yochanan who's ready to find an Isser Chatzishir in general, when he sees it in Kol Chelev, he applies it there. So when he sees this Pasuk, he'll say it by Shabbos also. And Reish Lakish, who doesn't like Chatzishir Yisurim, doesn't accept that drasha and doesn't accept this drasha either. the Chalkis Yoav in his Chuvas. Chalkis Yoav was also one of the Talmidim of the Sachet Shavu Rebbe of the Avnei Nezer. The Chalkis Yoav in his Chuvas, he thinks this drasha is an Esmachta for a different reason, because he has a Tosefta in Beitza, and the Tosefta there seems to say that one who writes one letter, or one who weaves one strand, Oreg Chotechad or Akose Bosachad, is not in violation of an Isur D'oraisa. So, says the Chalkis Yoav, it seems like you have this explicit Tosefta that there is no Torah prohibition by Chatzishir, by the Malachas, so this Medrash has to be an Asmach.
And so take. He's more worried about the Tosefta than the Gemara?
The Gemara doesn't say it preferish. You know. Yeah, this is a Havamina, and we don't know what the nature of the Isser is. It could be an Isser Darabanan, it could be some other Isser Daraisa.
Okay.
It's really Rash, and it's all okay. This Gemara itself has a lot of Havaminas. It's very hard to know what's halacha here. But it's really the Rashi on this Gemara is really so explicit. So, in terms of that Tosefta, so he maintains, so Chavos Chaim holds the Machlokas, whether it's a real Drasha or an Asmachta. And the Chalkis Yoav says it's probably an Asmachta because of this Tosefta, which in his mind is the most explicit source from Chazal itself about what exactly is the story here. And if you look further in the Rishonim, so I mentioned in the Mar Makomos also a Ramban and the Chiddush Haran, which sounds like there's an Isser Drabanan involved. Isser Zalman and the Evan Hazel also seems to push in that direction. So it seems like it's a Machlokus HaRishonim. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, in one place in his Chuvas, maintains that, yes, there's a machlokus about this, but the basic hachros haposkim, the conclusion among the halacha lamaisa, is that it seems to be that there probably is an Isser Daraisa involved with a chatzishir by the malachos of Shabbos. So in any event, like we said, it does seem to be Rashi's position. So what's often pointed out is that you might say, well, we're learning the first part of Shabbos this semester. We're not learning, at the moment, Klal Gadol. So we are Rashi and Daf Gimel people. And Rashi and Daf Gimel, when he talks about Akiros without Hanachos and the like, so it sounds like he's talking about Yisurim Drabana. So the question is, how does Rashi in the first parak shtim with this Rashi in the seventh parak that there is an Isur D'oraisa? Hi.
Is this necessarily talking about Chatzi Shir? Because if we say that Akira and Anacha are definitionally part of Hotzah, then even if you have one without the other, it's not even Hotzah, it's nothing.
Oh, excellent. So that is a suggestion that many Achronim have taken towards this theory. That many put forward exactly what you said, and then they eventually discovered that, once again, the Meiri said the exact same thing before they did, and they never saw it because the Meiri was locked away for all those centuries. But the Meiri, in his commentary on Daf Gimel, says what a lot of Achronim said in interpreting Rashi, exactly like you said. That maybe we have to distinguish between different incomplete malachas here. That maybe it's one thing if you have a malacha that's done with something that's too small. So if you chimut la'afos pachos mikashir, if you're going to cook an item that's too small, or if you're going to carry an item that's too small, even if you want to put it in the context of hotzah, so then fine, you call that a chatzishir. But that doesn't mean that an akira without hanacha is defined the same way, or perhaps walking 2 amos per shasar rabbin might also be subject to a similar question. Jonathan?
I don't even need the Miri to say that. The whole premise of the Mishnah was that we have a ratio which is dealing with the Isur D'oraisa, and the Seifa, which is dealing with the Isur D'rabbanan. That's the whole point, the Shnayim Sha'asu.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole premise is that there's clearly a different level of Isur there from the Mishnah. That's how the whole Gemara unfolds. Why do you even need to look in a...
You have to explain what's the difference between that and the Chatzishir B'chol HaTorah Kulo, that if there really is such an Isur...
Then why should the Seifa not be an Isur
D'rabbanan? What exactly is the difference here?
But you have to explain why it's not Isur D'oraisa. It's not that, it should be Isur D'oraisa.
Right, no, let's assume that, right. The question is not so much whether that is an Isur D'oraisa. Let's accept that it's not. But the question is, if one is of the camp that there is a Isur Chatzishir D'oraisa by Shabbos, so why is it different in this context? Hi.
So that doesn't really work with the concept that Chotzah is, the concept of Akira and Anacha are just incidental to the malacha chutzah.
So it may or may not. Right. So as we said, really, as we've seen in Hotzah, everything is one sugya. All our sugyas have really built on principles that come out of the first sugya. So we see that the whole question we were asking in the sugya we did immediately before this, the relationship of Akira and Hanacha to each other, is very much relevant to this. That what if we were to posit, as so many have here, that there is a difference between a malacha that has a shir and a malacha that is defined by certain components. And especially if one takes the position that we discussed, that Akira and Hanacha are fundamental to the definition of what Hotzah is, so then you could distinguish and say that that's not anything, that's a Chatzi Malacha, while other context is a Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir, yeah, there's a prohibition. Chatzi Malacha, it's definitely not Nisr Daraisa, maybe Nisr Drabbanim. So this is a chiluk that was considered in a number of contexts. It's interesting, this is also relevant to a Tosfos on Daf Ayin Gimel. I found this also fascinating in a historical, lumdisha kind of point of view, that there's a Tosfos, I don't remember if I put this on the Marmar Komus or not, but short enough, we'll look at it together, that on the Mishnah, Ayin Gimel and Aleph, when the Mishnah lists off all the malachas, so it's pretty minimalist. You don't have too many details in this Mishnah. It just tells you what the malachas are for the most part. Except some of them, it says a little bit. It says, Ha'orig shnei chutin, v'ha'potzei shnei chutin, etc., etc. Ha'kosei shnei osios. So it says, Tosfos, ha'osei shnei batei nirin. It says, Tosfos, tzorich lufarish. Lama pirish kan, uva'orig, uva'potzei, uva'tofer, v'kosei, shir, tfei mi b'shai. That most of the malachas, there's no information given at all. And a small handful of the malachos, we also tell you a shir. Shechutin, shteosios, etc., etc. So I just found this interesting, just in terms of the history of rabbinic literature, that this Tosfos doesn't have an author. Let's assume it was written in 1200. I don't know. Let's assume it's about that old. Just take a guess. So here Tosfos says, Tzarech lefari, somebody's got to explain this. So as far as we can tell, no one explained it for about 500-600 years. That there is a popular approach to this Tosfos, but it's first associated, or most explicitly associated, with Mordechai Benet, who lived about 200 years ago. And it seems like no one really took this up before that. So it's just interesting. Here Tosfos is Tzarech Lefarish, so who really addressed it in the 600 years in between? It's a good question. But nowadays, they like to quote Rav Mordechai Benet on this. Rav Mordechai Benet was a well-known gadol, but in the context of Shabbos, he wrote a sefer on the Malachos, which should be available online, called Magen Avos. So in the Magen Avos, Rav Mordechai Benet has an answer which many others accepted as well. If we were learning this page, we'd talk about it a little bit more, about the ins and outs of it. But many suggest that the answer is that this is not a shir. That when the Mishnah says, Ha'oreg shnei chutin, or kosev shnei osios, that's not a shir in the sense of grogris or in the sense of all the other shirim that we talk about. That is definitional. If we're talking about weaving, so weaving means you're weaving two things together. So to weave one thing is not called weaving.
What about kote?
So that's a point that is a little bit of a sticking point. So Rav Nassim Gishtetner is Chana Bracha has a tshuva about this and the tshuva Slaharis Nassim. Then he says that this general approach of the Magen Avos and others is a popular approach. And for most of the examples, it makes good sense. When it comes to Kosev, it's not as immediately obvious why that should be. It's easier to say with the other examples that they're about combining things, and if you're not combining them, so then it shouldn't be Aser at all, it shouldn't be the Malacha at all. So you have to say then that either for Mishkanian reasons or for logical reasons, that kosev is not simply about making a marking, but it's about joining two letters together, making two letters that form something in combination. So either it's about a word, or it's about, and that's the minimum of a word, or some suggest that it's for Mishkanian reasons, that the reason they wrote on the Mishkan was so that they could have their instruction booklet and say part A and slot B, so you have... You bring the two letters together, and that's what they're there for. So maybe that was the whole purpose. But again, whether it's a technical Mishkanian issue or whether it is something more fundamental, you wouldn't necessarily have guessed that this fits into that model, but apparently it does. And that has halacha l'maisa nafkaminas. By the way, there were a number of tshuvas that were written. Kajgwav Rav has a tshuva about this. Shibinara, a number have tshuvas about this. About it in Russia, they made people sign up for the army, and you had to sign up on Shabbos also, and you had to write a letter. So they talk about whether if it was only one letter, does that make it better? If it was done with a marking rather than with a letter, it's what we call Rishima. It's Rishima is a tolda of Kosev. It's a tolda Shinatzricha Lagufa. There's a Chatishir by a tolda. There's a whole literature about this, about is there room to look at Kosev a little differently when it's only one letter than other malachas. That's a point that comes up, lahalacha. So this basic yesod, not just in the context, not even in the context at all of Hotzah here, but the idea that not all shiurim are created equal, but that there are different usages of the term shiur in the concept of Shabbos, is an idea that's mentioned in the context of this Tosfos here. And it's very relevant, like we said at the very beginning, our opening words today, that we have to think about, even if we want to expand the concept of Chatzi Shir outside of less than a Kazayas by Achila, we still have to ask the question, when does it make sense and when does it not make sense? That sometimes it's a qualitative Shir and sometimes it's a quantitative Shir, and maybe there is what to talk about. Maybe there's an Issur Rabbanan when it's a qualitative Shir rather than a quantitative Shir. But sometimes it's going to be definitional and sometimes it's going to be less. And sometimes there's all kinds of gradations in the middle, because you could say that, like you gave the reductio ad absurdum example before, of marrying one sister. So it's clear, marrying one sister, obviously there's absolutely, we highly recommend marrying people who have sisters. It's obviously not an issue whatsoever. But there are other things which maybe it's not enough of the malacha or the isser to aser it, or to assume that the existing literature of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah includes it. But there's enough basis to say it's asur midrabban. So we could say that perhaps Akira without Hanacha might be in that category. Although again, you still have to at least take it outside. You wouldn't say that picking up something in your living room is Akira, even if you never end up with the intent to take it anywhere. So that can't be asur at all. So you have to have some element of the isur. Or let's say the question of carrying two amas per shosar avin. So maybe that's a chatzi shir, maybe that's a chatzi malacha. But it's less likely that it's absolutely nothing. So that is a very reasonable approach and a popular approach to take towards Rashi's distinction, that Rashi could maintain, yes, that there is, and the Klal Gadol could maintain that chatzi shir asur min haTorah by the malachas of Shabbos. And in the first parak, in Yesiyas HaShabbos, he can maintain that Akira without Hanacha is not an Isser Daraisa. Now, there are some who point out that the Rambam seems to disagree, because the Rambam, should have been on the Marakomus, I'm pretty sure, that the Rambam groups together in Mishneh Torah carrying something which is too small and carrying Akira without Hanacha. So it sounds like this distinction that we just said for Rashi is not true for the Rambam. Now, why is that? So you could say, okay, the Rambam doesn't agree that the Isser Chatzi Shir applies to Shabbos at all, in which case they're both going to be Isserim Darabanan of a comparable nature. But it seems like this very mistaber chiluk between a Chatzi Shir and a Chatzi Malacha, the Rambam doesn't seem to make this chiluk. He seems to include them all in the same category. So there is a fascinating approach which one could argue on. There is what to question about the usage of terminology here, but it's definitely worth sharing to see some of the genius of Rav Nachum Zemba. So Rav Nachum Zemba, the Sefer Tosfos Chaim, so he addresses this issue. He says, why is it that this chiluk of Chatzi Malacha and Chatzi Shir that Rashi seems to subscribe to, why does the Rambam not subscribe to it? So he wants to say as follows. So you probably also got a chance to see that the Rashbam in Bava Basra, the Rashbam maintains that maybe there should be an exemption of less than a shir in the context of Shabbos for a reason that is unique to Shabbos. Melachas Machshavas. Right? Melachas Machshavas, we haven't really spent time defining head-on this year. 2 years ago we did take out a day, I think later in the year, to actually focus on what it means. But Malachas Machshavas, hard to really zero in on one foot what it tells us, but it tells us that Malachas have to have a certain chashivas or certain intent. It's very open how exactly to translate it. It's a topic of Parsha coming up. But in any event, the Rashbam seems to maintain that if you say that less than a shir, as we alluded to before, is not chashuv, doesn't have chashivas, so then you could say that less than a shir in the context of Shabbos is lacking melechas machshavas. So for internal Shabbos reasons, we should exempt a melacha that's done when a whole shir is not involved. So says Rav Nachum Zemba Azoy. And the reason you could argue is because he's putting together pieces and terminologies which don't necessarily go together and don't necessarily have to agree with each other. But first, let's see if the basic thesis is. It says that, I could say as follows. Let's take it as a given, what the Rashbam says, that a malacha without a shir is lacking in malachas machshavas. What is the impact of such a reality? Right, if we take this as a universally agreed upon point, that there's no machshavas, that there's no shir, so what is the significance of that? So in general, if you talk about malachas machshavas, the idea that we find very often that a malacha that is lacking in malachas machshavas is pater. Why is it pater? Well, you could ask as follows. You could say that it is a malacha, so really you did the isser of the malacha on Shabbos, but there's a technical ptur. You're off the hook because it's lacking this condition of malachas machshavas. Or you could say, no, it's not a malacha. That malachos on Shabbos are defined by being machshavas. And if you don't have machshavas, you don't have a malacha at all. So he suggests that this is a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam in general. And how do you see that? You see that from another point that we mentioned in our introductory words a week or two ago. You may recall we spoke about avos and toldos. And you mentioned there that the Rishonim have different ways of figuring out what's an av and what's a toldo. The Gemara is not so explicit about this, and the Rishonim have different theories as to what counts as what. So you may recall, for example, we used the example of the Malach of Zareah, where it's been interpreted that the Rambam has a very generous definition of an av. Anything that shares the general purpose of a Malach could be called an av if it's close enough in purpose. While for Rashi, that's not enough. For Rashi, you have to have the purpose, but you also have to share the form in some way. That if the form is so different, then it's going to be a tolda. A tolda for Rashi is something that shares the purpose, but has a different form. So like we gave the example in the context of Zareya, that Zomer, if you're pruning a tree, so it has the same purpose as Zareya, it's trying to make plants grow, but because the form is so opposite, then that's got to be a tolda, it's not a noun. But the Rambam doesn't look so much towards the action. If it has the same purpose, it could be a noun. So therefore, what's the difference here? According to the Rambam, in Melachos of Shabbos, machshav is everything. The machshava really defines the malacha. Without the machshava, it's nothing. And in other words, in terms of the chakir I asked a second ago, that malachas, machshavas means the malacha has to be machshavas. Without machshavas, it's garnish. While according to Rashi, no, the malacha can be a malacha even without the machshavas. The malacha is defined more by the maisa, by the action itself. And therefore, machshavas is a tnai, is a condition in the chiyuv, but you can have a malacha without machshavas. You just won't be chayiv for it. So using that structure, he says that's also reflected in this whole issue about hotzah. That according to Rashi, you can have malacha without machshavas. So you can have an iser d'oraisa of chatzishir by the malachas of Shabbos. Because even if you're lacking a shear, and says the Rashbam, that's not machshavas. Okay, but it's still malach, it's still nisar daraisa. You're just not chayav for it. So therefore, na'in dalam mar aleph, there's an nisar daraisa chasi shear by malach of Shabbos. But it doesn't apply to a kiru lahanacha because that's not even a chatzi shir. That's not even a malach. But according to the Rambam, there is no such distinction because as soon as you're missing machshavas, you already don't have a malach. The malach is defined by machshavas. So anytime you have a lack of shir in the malach of Shabbos, it's got to be a drabanan, it's got to be a not ister daraisa because the whole malach falls apart. So therefore, the Rambam believes that carrying something too small is no more of a malacha than carrying two amos or a kiru without hanacha. Because just as those are called a chatzi malacha, they're fundamentally flawed, so too any chatzi shir is fundamentally flawed because it's missing machshavas, and according to the Rambam, machshavas is fundamental. That was very complicated. Did everyone follow that? Should I say it again? More or less it makes sense. Just to highlight the key points, he says that according to the Rambam, machshavas is everything. Therefore, you can be an av if you share the machshavas. If you don't have machshavas in the malacha, i.e. there's no shir, like the Rashbam defined it, it's not anything on the level of Minat Torah. And therefore, chatzi shir by Shabbos has got to be nisa d'rabbanan. It's no closer to a malacha than what we call a chatzi malacha of picking up and not putting down or 2 hours. But according to Rashi, the Maisa is itself enough to define the Malacha, and that's why to be an Av you have to share the Maisa, and therefore you can have a Malacha without Machshavas, even though you're Pater for it. And therefore, there's going to be a difference that you can talk about having an Isser Daraisa without a Shir, because even though it's lacking the Machshavas, it's still called a Maisa, and it's still called a Malacha. Now, there's a couple of questions you could ask about this. You might be wondering that if it's really true about the Rambam that Machshavas is everything, it's interesting the Rambam is the one Rishon who paskins Malach Hashem Tzrich Lagufa is Chayiv on Shabbos. So that's something you'll have to work out with this whole theory. But other than that, again, I think there's some room to argue with Rav Nachum Zemba's approach. You could say that, first of all, do we know that everyone's working off the same theory as the Rashbam, that Machshavas is defined by a shir, and are these two usages of Machshavas the same, even if it is? So I think there's room to argue with some of the premises and to work it out a little bit more, but it is an Eluyish approach. And again, the Menachem Zemba was on a Madrega that's really quite astounding. Hi.
I might be skipping ahead a little bit, but the Lacha Mishnah suggests that the Rambam has a strange line about the Tishbos is
Asr Minat
Torah or something.
Is it an Aseh? Right.
Lacha Mishnah suggests that it's talking about Chetzi Shir, that's Asr Minat Torah.
In terms of that, as an Esr Aseh, maybe.
It's of Tishbos.
Right, so that's so, possible also.
So then it wouldn't really work within our Rosamba's understanding of Chetzi Shir would be Pater because of Malachas Machshavas.
Or you could say that even without Malachas Machshavas, you could still violate the Esr of Shvisa, or the Aseh of Shvisa, which is possible. Maybe, I mean, it's theoretically a viable approach. But let's see if we can fit that in. So it's also interesting, I mentioned Rashi Weiss's piece, I didn't have a chance to really look at it at length, the piece on Chumash, but I did see one thing that he said. So he says, you could say this also, a similar approach to this, to address the Chalkes Yoav. It's very interesting if you want to put this all together. So the Chalkes Yoav said before, you have now the parts to see how this comes together, so see if you see where this is going. Right, the Chalkes Yoav said that the Medrash that tells you there's an Esr Chatzi Shir on Shabbos must be an Asmachta. Right? How does he know that? Why is he forced to say that? Tosefta. What does the Tosefta say? Well, but what's the Ramana? Well, what specifically? He mentions 2 examples of Tosefta. Right? Ha'oreg Chotechad Va'kosev Osechad. Now, what could you say, putting all the parts together that we've said so far? If one takes Mordechai Bennett's approach to Tosfos and says that those are not Shiurim, Osechad and Chotechad, right? Those are not Shiurim, those are definitional points. Right, so that maybe those 2 examples, Davka, that's a Chatzi Malacha. That's like carrying 2 amas. That's like a Kiru without Hanacha. So that Taka, right, that's an Issa D'Rabbanan. But a real chatzi shir, carrying something that's too small, or cooking something that's too small, maybe that might actually be still in a Sederaisa, and maybe there is room to stay. So before we run out of time, so I just want to mention a few other theories, and then if there are further questions, we can incorporate it into our discussions another day. But just we're committed to finishing the thrust of the sugya today. So there are other approaches to dealing with this Rashi in the first parak. So, for example, there are some who maintain that maybe you could say that the resolution is that it doesn't apply to Hotzah, not necessarily Akira and Hanacha versus carrying something too small, but maybe the Chiluk is Hotzah and other Malachas.
Malacha Gerua, right?
Right. So if you're going to say Hotzah and Malacha Gerua, so then, boom. Now, but okay, do you follow that through? So why Malacha Gerua? What would that make a difference? So here again, we've set some parts of the puzzle in today's year already.
So I mean, like, even the Toldos, I have to be in the Mishkan. So.
Okay, so we should need more sources, that might be. But what's this another svar that's based on something we said earlier today? If you go back to the Chacham Tzvi, right, that what's Chatzi Shvir about? Chashivas. Right, that you have to give something chashivas, you have to actually do something on purpose. So maybe once the malacha itself is lacking in chashivas, so now it's kind of like a trade rabbanon, we're two steps removed away from chashivas. That maybe if the whole malacha itself already was lacking in the chashivas department, they needed an extra source. So if you now have not only the malacha that's lacking in chashivas, but done in a way that's lacking in chashivas, maybe you put the two together, you are even further removed from the requisite chashivas to have a malacha. So that's also an interesting approach, that you could say that Hotzah Malacha Gerua, and therefore that should have an impact. Now we could also put this into our whole discussion again, that if the other Malachos are defined by impact and Hotzah is defined more by effort, does that affect any of these elements? Right, the whole lumdus of Hotzah, if one wants to make a distinction and say that Hotzah is different in the area of Chatzi Shir than all the other malachos. So again, I think it's worthy of some thought, just the other distinctions that we said in terms of the very nature of Hotzah, how that might plug into the story. It's also interesting, a lot of Achronim maintain, and if you think about this for a second, you can see why also, that there is no Isser Chatzi Shir on Shabbos in a situation of a psik ratio. This could also come up. And why should that be? Normally on Shabbos, if I do action A, and action A, by its very nature, always provokes action B, so then I am chaya for that, even though it wasn't what I was trying to do. Right? It's called davar she'eino miskaven, that if I'm trying to do action A, and action A might provoke action B, not my intent, but it's just going to happen as a consequence. So then the rule is that if it's not definitely going to happen, so then I can maintain my innocence. But if it's definitely going to happen, psik ratio, so then I'm responsible for that too. So why should you put Chatzi Shir in to make a difference?
It's not definitely going to happen.
Well, it is definitely going to happen. It'll definitely happen to a Chatzi Shir. So you could say that if the whole history of Chatzi Shir comes from Chashivas, from the attention you're paying to it, psik ratio, you're not paying attention. And you're not trying to do action B. You're responsible for it because it's definitely going to happen, but it's not your intent. So how could you say you were machshuv what happened with action B? So there is a logical basis to put those two concepts together and say that they don't work together, say that segregation and Chatzi Shir do not function in a compatible way. Hi.
Isn't that intermingling Malachas Machshavas from Machshava and Chashivas?
Not necessarily. I mean, yes, you could do that also. Right? You could say that, well, Davar Shemiskaven is missing Chashivas, that itself is a Chatzi Shir. You could say it's a form. You could also say it's a Tolda in itself. There is some discussion about that, that Chatzi Shir should be approached from the Tolda perspective, and we'll get into that today. But you don't have to come on to that for this point. You could just say, without getting into Malachas Machshavas and the whole story, just say that the understanding of Psik Resha is that normally I'm not actually, even though I'm not actually trying to do action B, but it's my malacha, it's my responsibility. So that's a different type of malacha, a malacha that I'm liable for, but I didn't actually intend. So if I didn't intend, it's my intent which makes the Chatzi Shir significant, but I'm not paying attention here. So how could my inadvertent intent, how could that necessarily make me liable? So So I just want to mention one more point before we run out of time. And again, there are a few other nekudas one could ask, but maybe we'll bring them up again in the context of Shnayim Shaso. But there's just the thrust we want to get out about the sugya. So you could also take note of the following, that we said that if one assumes Chazalitz Trufe is the issue when it comes to Malachos, and if you assume that Chazalitz Trufe is about the potato chips var, that it's about the concern that you might come to finish, so then does that come up in Hilchos Shabbos also? Should we say that there's an Isser of Chatzi Shir Menat Torah by the Malachos, but maybe only when it's Chazalitz Trufe, only when it is something that could lead to finishing the Malacha. So a very interesting marmuk about this, I don't think I put this on the original list, but I mentioned it to some guys afterwards, and it's very interesting if you look at the Rashash and Gimel Amud Aleph, if you take a look, add it to the list, I don't think it was on the original list, but the Rashash and Gimel Amud Aleph talks about the fact that it sounds like from Rashi that Akiros without Hanachos are potentially worse than Hanachos without Akiros. So why should that be? So he meant clearly that's going to have to take away from the whole idea that that's the Drabbanan B'chlal, but coming from a different approach, he suggests that maybe Akiros without Hanachos are worse, because that could lead to, with the Hanacha, that could lead to finishing a Malacha. But Hanacha, that's the back end of the Malacha, so once if you did that, so there's no danger that you're going to retroactively do an Akira. So we have to worry more about Akiros without Hanachos than Hanachos without Akiros. That's an interesting observation. Just mention one last point then, Wallah Davin. There is a fascinating observation by the Menches Chinuch. This you have to take a little bit with the right attitude, to question how exactly this is discussed. Reshechter once mentioned that he thought maybe this whole conversation is a little bit Bittul Torah. The question that's asked by some of the Achronim about what exactly was the status of the Avos. In general, the two famous discussions about this, the Mishnah Melech and the bottom of the Rambam, has more in one of his other svarim called the Parashas Drachim. He has long drashos. The Mishnah Melech has very noted essays about this topic. What exactly was the status of the Avos? Do we assume that Avram was the first Jew? Or do we assume that, the Torah created Judaism, there was no Jewish people until there was a Torah? So the Avos were our ancestors, they were very important, clearly, in the history of Judaism, but they were pre-Jewish, they were not the Jews themselves. So, Mishlo Melech is famous for discussing this, and also Rav Yosef Engel, in one of his farim, I don't know if we've mentioned so far this semester. Rav Yosef Engel also has a sefer called Beis HaOtzer. Have we talked about that sefer? It's a kind of an encyclopedia of Lamdas. He goes through Lamdish topics in alphabetical order. But we only have the first two volumes. Rumor has it that he wrote all the volumes, and they were lost, or maybe somebody has them and hasn't published them. But we have access to the first two volumes, Aleph and Beis. So if you look up in Aleph, in the Beis HaOtzer, so he has Avos under Aleph, and you can look up, it has a whole essay, all the various proofs, were the Avos Jewish or not. So it's one thing to engage in that discussion, but then some take it even further, and they assume that not only should we wonder about this, but that the Avos themselves were briskers, and that they were masupik lahalacha about their status, so they were machmir on both sides, which is, again, it's a... It takes a little bit of a stretch to understand things this way. But the question of how did the Avos deal with the Shabbos issue? That if we assume that Shabbos is something that Jews are supposed to do, and something that is not meant for non-Jews to do, so if the Avos or briskers were masupik about their status, how'd they handle Shabbos? Again,
My favorite answer
right?
is
yes?
they would wear tzitzis instead right. of chayav and tzitzis.
Correct, that's one of the creative answers that you've seen. So again, as far as I'm talking about, again, you can take it or leave it. This is invoked in the halachic literature today. Rabbi Bleich talks about this in one of his essays about a ger shemal v'lo tavo. If you have somebody who's in the middle of the conversion process, what exactly is the status? So maybe there are nafkaminas, but in any event, so whether or not this question bothers you, but it's relevant for other aspects of Shabbos, so the Menches Chinuch talks about this issue, and the Menches Chinuch says that maybe what they did was they would do a chatzi shir of a malacha on Shabbos. So for a second, let's use kosev because it's an easy example, and let's not necessarily make the distinction that kosev is a chatzi malacha or not. Let's present it as a shir. So they would write one letter on Shabbos. How does that help? Because the Rambam says in Mishneh Torah that the whole concept of shiurim, that we're very precise about measurements, that the shiurim is a Jewish concept, and that the surim that applied to Bnei Noach are not functioning in the same shiur system. So therefore, if they're not Jewish, so that's already Chilul Shabbos. There's no concept of a shiur. And if they're Jewish, so then there is a concept of a shiur. So one letter is not the malacha, is not the shiur.
That doesn't work with Mark Bennett.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. You have to put aside that. I just use that example with the independent of that. If you don't like that example, pick a different example. They would do a chatzi shiur of a malacha. So, or chumas, right. Maybe it doesn't work. So he says, but you'll say, chatzi shiur asur min ha-Torah. Right? So why is that okay for them to do? That if we have a prohibition of chatzi shiur, it's a prohibition min ha-Torah, so then that should be wrong also. So he says, no, that you only say chatzi shiur asur min ha-Torah because of chazi litzrufe. We only say that because you're concerned that it may come to lead to the whole issue. But here, their whole plan is to only do a chatzi issue. That was the whole plan. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense. So we could safely assume that the Avos had no risk of actually completing the whole malacha, so for them it was mutter, that the Yisr is defined by the siag of Chazalit Strufe. So if you know that you're not going to run a risk of that, that's your whole plan, so then maybe the whole Yisr in the first place doesn't apply. So again, I wouldn't give too much focus on whether that question is necessarily so consequential, but in terms of how the concept of Chazalit Strufe plugs in here, and in terms of what the Yisr Chatzi Shir by Shabbos might mean, that's just another interesting element to consider. So let's just quickly review what we spoke about today. So we spoke about the question of Chatzi Shir by other Yisurim very briefly, and noted that there is much discussion about this, which we didn't even scrape the surface of. But very notable in this discussion is the Chacham Tzvi, who says that there's no Chatzi Shir by Ba'yira Ba'yimatze, and he said it for two reasons. One is that Chatzi Shir is all about Achshaveh, and there's no Chashivas here because it's passively violated, you just ignored the Chametz. And in addition, Chatzi Shir only applies to Yisuri of Achila. And then the question was asked against him that there are Rishonim and others who seem to be against this, most notably Rashi and Ayin Dalam and Aleph, who says explicitly that the Yisr Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah of Yuma applies to cooking less than a shir. And there's also the Taurus Kohanim, which has a drasha of Yisr Chatzi Shir on Shabbos, and the Chafetz Chaim says it's a machlokes or a biyachna mishlakish, how to relate to that drasha. It's either Deraisa Derabbanan. It's either an asmachta or not. And the Chalkas Yov has said that it's an asmachta because it's against the Tosefta that says weaving one strand or writing one letter is only asa midrabanan. So Maisa, we saw that in terms of the Rishonim, Rashi seems to say it's Daraisa. Other Rishonim might maintain it's Darabanan. It's also theoretically possible to say it's Daraisa for different reasons. We saw that the Rashbam says it's not Malachas Machshavas. And that Reb Shlomo Zalman wrote in his Tshuva that the Hacharas HaPoskim is that it's an Isur Daraisa. So the question is, what about Rashi in the first parak on Daf Gimel? So many Achronim and the Meiri all suggested that Rashi is distinguishing between a shir and a chatzi malacha, that if there's something that's just part of what the malacha is, if you're lacking half of that, that's not even a chatzi shir, that's a chatzi malacha, which works especially well if we say that akir and anacha are the definitional components, but could theoretically work with even less than that, but certainly works within that type of a framework. And then we saw that this is also perhaps consistent with the whole approach one could take to Tosfos and Gimel Aleph. Tosfos asks why it is that certain malachos have what looks like a shir mentioned in the Mishnah and other malachos don't. And Reb Mordechai Benet and many Achronim after him said that that's not a shir, that's part of the definition of the malacha. Less than that is not the malacha at all. Prompting the question, how does Kosev fit into that structure, and some suggestions about how that might be appropriate for Kosev as well. So you could say there also that just like carrying two amas or a kira that anacha is not even a chatzi shir, so too you could say that oreg and kosev, only one item, is also not even a chatzi shir. And that, as Rav Asher Weiss pointed out, that could account for the tosefta that was talking about oreg and kosev. So with only one part of the equation, that's not even a chatzi shir, that's a chatzi malacha, but maybe there still is an iser deraisa of chatzi shir. So then the question is, also, in terms of why Rashi and the Rambam might be different, because the Rambam lumps together these Chatzi Malach examples with Chatzi Shir, seems to hold they're all at most a Drabbanan. And we mentioned Rabbi Nachum Zempa's very creative approach that maybe there's a question here, is Machsheves crucial to a Malach or not? and working off the Rashbam that no shir is a lack of machsheves. So maybe there's a machlokis, the Rambam and the Rashi, what the impact of that missing machsheves is. According to Rashi, it's still a malacha, but there's no chiv. And then we see that by how he defines avos and toldos. And according to the Rambam, also we see from the avos and toldos that machsheves is everything, and without the machsheves, it's absolutely garnished. So therefore, the Rambam doesn't have any ability to distinguish between a malacha without a shir and a chatzi malacha. They're all incomplete malachos. And the Rashi could distinguish because you could have malacha without machsheves, so you could have a iser deraisa even if there's no shir. Again, some room to argue with that, but that's an interesting mahalacha nonetheless. And then we spoke about some other possible approaches to explaining the two Rashis, and maybe you could say that the difference is that Rashi doesn't apply it to Hotzah in general, and then the question, why not, talked about how Malacha Garua might be a factor to that. The Tshuvas Ginza Yosef says that, by the way, it was the Hungarian Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yosef Schwartz. So he suggests that maybe it's because of Malacha Darais, sorry, Malacha Garua. And then we talked a little bit about how our understandings of Malacha Garua might fit into such an approach. And then we discussed also the possibility that Psik Resha might not apply by a Chatzi Shir, which would also follow the idea that it's a lack of Chashivas on both ends, a lack of Chashivas without a Shir. And Psik Resha isn't paying attention to it, so that also could be consistent with saying that's Malacha Garua, again, a lack of Chashivas. And then we just called attention to the idea that if we apply Chazlitz Trufe, and we say that Chazlitz Trufe is not a concern if you can't actually finish the Shir, so that could explain that. That's basically what the Rashash is saying when he says that Akiros without Hanachos are worse than Hanachos without Akiros, because Akiros without Hanachos could lead to the finishing of the Malacha, well, not in the other case. And then we mentioned the Mechas Chinuch's creative suggestion for dealing with the Brisker Avos, that if they want to be Mechal Shabbos and not Mechal Shabbos at the same time, then they could do a Malacha without a Shir. And the question is, shouldn't that be prohibited? So his answer was, no, it's not prohibited, because the Isser is only Chayv and Sufe. It's when you may actually finish the whole Malacha, and here their whole plan was to do this without finishing a Malacha, so there's no concern that that would actually come to the Malacha actually taking place. Okay, so again, so the Davin now, so stay in contact with Jonathan. We'll discuss. Hopefully there